now go to Colossians chapter 3. I'll read verses 1 through 17. Colossians chapter 3. Dear people, you know this is the Word of God. It is our life's blood, spiritually speaking. Let us hear from the inspired apostles' words written for us. Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now you've put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May the Lord bless his beautiful word to our hearts, to our minds. Lord Jesus, thank you for such a rich, rich heritage we have. Even now it begins as we take into our lives the very words that you inspired the prophets and the apostles to give us. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your word. Bless it to us now, we pray, in your name. Amen. My text comes mainly from verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The apostle is saying this to the Colossians because if you read before in chapter 2, you would learn that the Colossians were guilty of what is called will worship, which is what a lot of people these days do in evangelical churches. I'm not talking about liberal churches that have gone apostate that don't believe the Word of God. I'm talking about people that believe in Jesus Christ, that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Nevertheless, they get into will worship. They promote their own form of worship, and they come up with their own rules and practices, and they want everyone else to follow their rules and their practices. You know, sort of like the Pharisees, although it's not exactly like that. Paul was talking in the previous chapter. He says, why do you do that? Why are you getting involved with all this childish, trivial stuff? Touch not, handle not, taste not. All these physical, material things that are not what it's about, not what your holy religion is about. This is sort of self-imposed worship. And you're imposing it not only on yourself, but also on others. Stop it. It's idolatry. Instead of bringing you closer to God and Christ, you are getting farther, you're going farther away. That's what Rome does, for example, with all of its physical trappings, its candles, and its incense, and its altars, and its garments, and it's on and on and on. The gospel of Jesus Christ is shrouded with all those things and crowded out of view. And then what it creates is a superstition that is, of course, irrational. Right? Superstition is irrational. You can't reason with somebody who's superstitious. And it binds them to the earth. And that's what Paul is warning against. That will worship, that worship that binds us to earthly things, material things, physical things, that is non-spiritual. And that is very dangerous for Christians to fall into. And you see, that's the point. These are Christians. You know, we have Christian brothers and sisters that are doing this kind of stuff. Yes, in Rome. But in evangelical churches and Protestant Reformed churches and all kinds of places. The reason I say this is we wouldn't need this exhortation, encouragement to burst out of ourselves if we didn't tend towards that. If we were immune to it now that we believe in Jesus Christ. Point is, we're not. And so I want to talk some more about this. First thing I want to say is, well, this exhortation that we so desperately need in our lives. And then I want to talk about the absolute contrast that Paul sets up here in this third chapter, particularly in verses 1 and 2, stemming out of verses 1 and 2 and continuing on through the 17 verses, or the other 15 verses that I read. And so You know, we have those things to talk about, and also the clarity that he sets forth. And I want us to appreciate that clarity. And I do not wish to obscure the message by trying to appease some people that might think it a little bit too harsh. I'm not going to be harsh or strident with you, but Paul is setting up a very clear and consistent message. And then, of course, the final point, the answer to it all, go now. Submit to it and go now and do it. Coming back then to the need for the exhortation, as I said, we wouldn't need it if we did not tend toward the earth, toward that which is material, toward that which is fleshly, toward that which is natural in us, and non-spiritual, right? We all tend towards that. That's what gets our attention first, above all else, isn't it? Surely it is. And we must be reminded constantly of the danger that lurks within us and all around us. Actually, many dangers. Paul is not saying here, if ye then be risen with Christ, so as to doubt. He's saying that if you're risen with Christ, if indeed you're a Christian, then this is what it's going to be like. This is what it must be like. If you're not a Christian, well, then this doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to happen. And you're not going to want it to happen. You're not going to make it happen. It's just not going to happen. You can pretend, I guess. Some people can pretend to be religious, can be spiritual. But without Christ, there is no such thing as spiritual living and life. It's just superstition. It's just mysticism. It's just will worship or, you know, self-willed kind of religion. There is no spirituality with an unbeliever. Not in the biblical sense, not in the worshipful sense that it's meant. We are to, according to the apostle, if you're a Christian, are you a Christian? You want to be a Christian. I think everyone here is, or certainly wants to be. I don't know who might be doubting among us. Maybe those away from us. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I like to think that all our members are not only members of Calvary Church, but are members of the Kingdom of God. But I know this, that every single one of you are sinners. And every single one of you needs to deal with this. That you and I need to think on those things, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand. We are to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay. So what are these things above where Christ is? Yeah, that's a good question, right? Certainly coming here and listening to the Word of God, singing the songs of Zion, praying the prayers that saints have prayed before and that we as saints pray now in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Getting out of that routine that we're in 6 days of the week and listening to something, hearing something, receiving something that is nowhere found, or very few places found, outside the doors of this church or outside your own home devotion. Or maybe if you go to a Christian school or something, you might hear it on occasion. Certainly, those things which come from and are about Christ and things above, that's what matters or should matter the most to us. Abraham. Remember Abraham? Father Abraham, right? He, throughout his journeys, sought a heavenly country, a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. All his life long, when he found out, that is, about the Lord, when the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, follow me. Come with me. I don't know where I'm going, Lord. I know where you're going. You're going heavenward. So we ought to seek that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. If you treasure heavenly things, that's where your heart is. If you treasure earthly things, that's where your heart is. If you try to treasure both things, you're in the earth. You cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus said. You need to seek those things out where moth and rust doth not corrupt, that nothing and no one can touch. Now, what are those things? Well, read the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 6, 7. Read those things. And Jesus outlines it. Remember the Beatitudes? You've heard of the Beatitudes. Those are the things that are heavenly that he's talking about. The things above. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the food and the clothes and the shelter that the Gentiles run in panic mode after day in and day out, and include you and drag you with them. God will give you. You don't need to worry about any of it. Not a whit do you have to worry about it. I know you do. I know I do. I know you do. I'm not projecting. But God says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and I'll give you the things you need for life. And if I don't, you come home. What could be better than that? But what? No buts. No buts. Here's a contrast. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There is a sharp contrast, a difference here. The difference is that I am going for the rest of my life in word and deed, seek heavenly stuff. I am not going to seek earthly stuff. The
The contrast is there. Heavenly or earthly? Things ruled by God and Christ, things ruled by Satan and sin. Which is it? It can't be both. Not in principle. In practice, we're not perfect, right? But not in principle. Can't be both. The contrast is clear. Now, he gives an example later on. He says in verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence," which is lust, "and covetousness," which is greed and wanting the things of the, you know, wanting what I want when I want it, which is idolatry. Okay? This is what the world and the godless go after. And later on he mentions anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication, unforgiveness, non-loveliness, you know, all that other stuff as well. It's not as if the ungodly, the unbelieving, those who do not believe in Christ, whomever they may be your great Aunt Millie, your wonderful Uncle Nick, anyone is going by these principles. It's not that they have some good in them and we ought to stay away from that, the dark side of humanity. They're all dark. This is how they live. This is how I once lived before I knew Christ. This is how you once lived. This was the principle of life and living. Was the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the glory of myself or another, or my family or my children. You know, making little idols out of babies and things like that. This is the way they live. This is the principle. There's no good side to it. That's the point. There is no good side to an unbeliever. It's all bad. You don't get that. I know you don't. Because you call these people your friends and they're not your friends. Never. Unless, they repent and embrace Jesus Christ. They're going the other way. They're not going to heaven. Not yet. As far as you know. Doesn't mean you hate them. It doesn't mean you despise them. Doesn't mean you kick them when they're down. You show the love of Jesus in your words and your actions to them. Perhaps you will win one or two or three or four. Not everyone, but someone. By your kindness, your gentleness, your love. But they're not your friend. It's hard to admit. Now, Paul is obviously not speaking here about things. Is education evil? Is government evil? Is marriage evil? Are birds and bees and rocks and trees evil? Is this God's green earth evil? Things in and of themselves are not evil. Paul is not speaking about that. It's the use of these things by evil, wicked man. Man that's going by the principle of sin in his or her life. That's evil. And so what he does is he uses the things that God has created, whatever they may be, science included, all types of sciences, and he uses that which is good for evil, sinful purposes. For his own glory, for his own power, for his own fame, for his own promotion, for his own wicked Frankensteinian evil when he aborts and sells baby parts for whatever, for research. Frankensteins. That's the evil man. Unbelieving man, going by that principle. Paul is not condemning material things in and of themselves. They're useful. What he's encouraging us as we set our affections on things above is the use of these things for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. So I'm going to use, for example, my education. Whereas before I was using it for myself, for, you know, maybe with other people to gain some sort of position in life, some sort of power perhaps, some sort of ability that I can brag about, or whatever it may have been. But now I've used all my education, many years, for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. Education's not evil. I am. But thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, I've learned to set my affection on things above. What's another thing above? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, temperance. Those things. Set your affection, set your desire, set your mind, set your heart on those things. The Beatitudes, the gifts or the fruits of the Spirit. That's what I need to develop. I need to develop more love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faithfulness. You know, in the Lord. I need to show that because I'm setting my affection on spiritual things, you see. Not on earthly things. And I'm taking the earthly things that God gives me, He delights to give me, and using them for Him. To bring others to Christ, invite somebody into my home to have dinner with me. I thank God for the food. And I want to praise His name for providing that food and show that person and tell that person, if he doesn't know it already, that this is from God. And you're welcome into my home anytime if you're willing to hear about Jesus. So my home becomes a Christian home. Not my house, not my home. Doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God now. That's setting your affection on things above. That's what it means. It's very practical. And so now I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do it. To focus your attention on the fact that you have been risen with Christ. The Bible tells us that you have already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because Christ went there. He says, I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am you shall be also. Now it may look like that's not happening, but remember what happened with our Lord. Our Lord, it looked for all intent and purposes, as is said, that he was going to fail, that he was a failure, that he ended up being mocked and spat upon, a crown of thorns. He led to Golgotha and crucified on a cross. And it even looked like God was against him, because the darkness surrounding the scene caused him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he died. And he was put in a tomb. Final nail in the coffin, so to speak. All was lost. We had hoped that he was going to save Israel. To on the road to Emmaus. And then he revealed himself to them. Resurrected Lord. Did not our hearts burn within us as he taught us the scriptures? He's risen. He appeared before many people 40 days. And then on the 40th day, he ascended before the eyes of the disciples. He ascended before their very eyes. And he disappeared behind the cloud. In heaven. That's our focus, because that's what's happening to us even as I speak. We have been risen with Christ. We have been given a resurrection hope. Like him, so shall we be. That's our focus. That's where our attention should be. Seated with Christ in heavenly places, even now. It doesn't look like that, though. Yes, remember what it looked like when Jesus was here and was being crucified and died and buried. Remember what it looked like and what happened. It may look like we should focus our attention on earthly things, on what's here and now, worry about what's coming later on, but focus our attention. That's where it counts. No! It looks like that. It appears to be the case, but it's not. Faith projects beyond. And so now, once again, bringing it home, I take everything and I try, sometimes almost desperately, to use whatever that thing is for the glory of God in Christ. It's difficult sometimes. It's challenging. And I fail many times because of weakness and sin. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory by focusing our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. To use the things he gives here in the service of his glory rather than in the service of myself or sin. It's a challenge. But we can meet it with the help of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for steering us in the right direction, if I may say it that way, dear Father. Set your affection on things above. Let Christ and the principles he lived by, being in the Father's will all the time, doing his commandments, fulfilling his word, praying. Let us be like that too. Find us doing that more and more, and forgive us, Lord. We fail. Oh, mightily we fail. But we are focused. Our attention is raptured. We want it raptured by thee. Help us along, Lord. Help us along. We pray and ask in His wonderful name, your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.